Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Welcome to worship on this truly glorious, gorgeous day. I'm Lindsay Hall, one of the clergy that serves at the congregation here at our Brighton campus of First United Methodist Church. We are glad that you are here. We are celebrating, continuing to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, continuing to celebrate his resurrection and in our midst today. As we join in worship, we are glad that you're here. We're glad to always have children and youth with us. At the 9:30 hour, we have Sunday school downstairs as well as nursery care. So as families or littles or grandkids or great-grandkids are worshiping with you, they are always welcome to experience Sunday school and the nursery care downstairs at this hour. Well, we would love to know that you're here. So at a point in the service, I'd invite you to fill this out and then it can be placed in the offering plate when the offering is collected later in worship. It's an opportunity to connect and find ways to serve in mission, as well as to engage in study, to find places to serve and be connected here at the church. Also, in the back of your rows there, you're going to find some yellow cards. Those are prayer cards. We'd love for you to fill those out to know how the clergy and the care team and the prayer team can be praying for you, uplifting any joys or concerns that you might have on your heart. From Isaiah 12, verse 5, it says, "Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world." And so with that spirit of Isaiah on our hearts, let's do that. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's let the world know of God's tremendous mercy and grace. Won't you stand? Let's sing together.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you, for you have risen from the dead and forgiven our sin. Lord, help us in your unbelief. Stand among us today as you did with your disciples. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and bring us your peace. We pray that you will hear the songs of praise we raise to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from John 20, 19 to 29. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tom, for reading the gospel lesson for us today. Church, I would invite you to pray with me. Loving God, by your Holy Spirit, may you open our eyes to see new light this day. By your lips, by our lips, Lord, help us to tell the story of the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ. By our hearts, help us to believe this good news and not hide out in fear. and help us to receive the scripture reading this morning with new and fresh understanding. O Holy God, as we gather in worship to praise you, lift up new insight and new meanings for us today. Help us to receive this word of scripture. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you God, who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Wasn't last Sunday a glorious Sunday? A glorious Sunday indeed. The church was filled with lilies. They're still here. The sounds and the smells of Easter were all around. Can you smell those lilies? Wasn't it a glorious day? Everybody was dressed in their best Easter outfits, and we had refreshments like we do today. Last Sunday was a glorious day. There were even some faithful souls who gathered outside in the garden bright and early at 20 degrees at 7:15. I was thinking, today would have been a lovely day for a 7:15 Easter sunrise service. It was a glorious day that the Lord had made, because last week we experienced the power of the resurrection as we encountered the glorious empty tomb. And Mary went to that tomb thinking that she was just going to anoint Jesus' body, just pay his respects, just go there to mourn and to weep. But to her surprise, that tomb was empty. Jesus was not among the dead. It was wide open. The stone was rolled away. Up from the grave he arose, as we sang. And hope had sprung forth, like these glorious daffodils and tulips that we're seeing in the prayer garden and perhaps in your homes and around Brighton. Hope had sprung forth, and new life and new light had come to all, because we'd taken those Good Friday weepings and mourning, and it was turned into shouts of praises and hallelujahs as we danced on Easter morning. Well, when Mary discovered that empty grave, we discovered that there's hope, of course, always hope, and that light was going to overcome the darkness, and that death never had that final word in face of any type of adversity. And then she followed the disciples. The disciples followed her to the tomb as she reported it, and there was this conversation with Jesus that took place, first a gardener, no, it wasn't, and she reported the story then to those 11 disciples in the upper room. And they hid out, and they were in fear, as we heard in the scripture of this lesson this morning. Well, what took place next from the scripture reading that Tom shared with us is that Jesus, now resurrected, he pays a visit to the disciples in that upper room where they had just broken the bread a few nights earlier, and he visited them. But one was absent. Where was that missing Thomas fella? He wasn't around. Well, over the years, Thomas has earned the nickname Doubting Thomas, right? That's not the first time we've heard it. He's earned the nickname Doubting Thomas because he wasn't there that first time that Jesus appeared. He wasn't there. And as the disciples told him about Jesus' appearance, he doubted. He doubted that he had really resurrected. And unless, as the scripture told us, unless he could see Jesus' body again, unless he could touch his hands, unless he could feel his side, he needed proof of this report. He wasn't just going to believe. He needed proof. So what happens? A second time, the scripture tells us. He shows back up to the upper room, and there, Thomas isn't missing this time. And he has an encounter with Jesus, and he is invited to touch and feel his body. You know, I find it really interesting that Thomas has gotten this bad reputation for not instantly believing. It seems as though Thomas is somehow scolded for not instantly believing the moment that the disciples tell him he's resurrected. But can you blame him? Can you really blame Thomas? Thomas knows that Jesus had just hung on the cross and breathed his last words and that his blood had been shed. Can you really blame Thomas for wanting some hardcore proof of Jesus' resurrection? After all, can you really blame him? And so instead of chastising Thomas, perhaps could we look at Thomas in a different light? Instead of this doubting character, could we see Thomas as a different kind of disciple?
Maybe he's actually brave and courageous. Maybe Thomas is actually being vulnerable with his group of friends, his dear friends, and he's willing to risk what they might think if he's actually honest and shares his doubts and shares his struggles with what he's believing. You know, someone who's willing to be vulnerable with others and isn't going to just cowardly hold back from what they think, but someone's going to be brave and courageous and own their own opinions and share their perspective, I think is somebody we could actually applaud. Applaud his honesty, applaud his vulnerability. Perhaps we have something to learn from Thomas, that he's not just willing to go along with the crowd. He isn't just willing to shy back and go with the pack mentality, but instead he is this disciple who's willing to ask some questions. He's going to wrestle with doubt. He's going to use his own reason. He's going to use his own experience and try to make sense of the world around him. Maybe Thomas isn't such a bad guy after all. So as I think about this Thomas disciple, it sounds to me that maybe Thomas was a little bit Wesleyan at heart. Maybe he had a little bit of a United Methodist spirit in him before we had the United Methodist Church here. Someone who was more discerning, not necessarily doubting. Someone who was trying to make sense of the world around him through a lens of what United Methodists like to call the Wesleyan quadrilateral. Have you heard Pastor John or I talk about this before? All right, so we're in the spirit of the time of Jesus here, but I'm going to fast forward us now to John Wesley, who's the founder of our Methodist movement, this term is coined after him, the Wesleyan quadrilateral. It's something that us United Methodists, when we're trying to make sense about the world around us, we engage in the world through a biblical and a theological lens. And when we're trying to make sense of the world around us, when we're trying to discern, when we're trying to think about hard topics and conversations, the Wesleyan quadrilateral calls us first to rely upon and engage in Scripture, of course. That's our primary tool for making sense of the world around us. But then it also asks us to lean upon tradition and reason and experience as we're discerning and making decisions and trying to understand the world. So turning to Scripture as our primary tool, while also allowing God to use our intellect and our personal life experiences and the tradition and the history and the richness of our church is also a part of it. So now here's Thomas. He's in the upper room. And he's hearing this report from the disciples as he's been absent, and I imagine him scratching his head and trying to just process and make sense of what he's hearing, trying to understand this resurrection, and he's trying to use his senses and his reason, and he's trying to come to a conclusion and make sense of this. But maybe he just needs a little bit more time, or a little bit more proof, or a little bit more moment to discern and make sense of it all, and perhaps that's okay that he didn't just instantly believe. Sometimes it takes us a while too, doesn't it? When Jesus returned the next week, Thomas received that evidence, that proof, that additional information that he was so longing for in order to believe. Like a scientist that needed more data to work with, like a Wesleyan at heart, he was able to engage his experience and see that Jesus really had resurrected. And there standing among him was the resurrected Christ. Perhaps Thomas gets this bad reputation when really he shouldn't. Maybe we ought to give him a little bit more grace, and instead of calling him Doubting Thomas, what if we started calling him Discerning Thomas? What if we went by a whole new name? When we're thinking about faith, when we're trying to ask questions, when we're wrestling with doubt, I think we could call him Discerning Thomas. You know, he was on this beautiful faith journey, making sense of the world around him, wrestling and asking and engaging. What if we started calling him Discerning Thomas instead? Because I think doubt can be a part of the journey of faith. Man, we have a lot to learn from this Discerning Thomas disciple. But not only do we have a lot to learn from Discerning Thomas, We also have a lot to learn and connect with on those other disciples, the other disciples that were there hiding out. You know, I'm so struck by the fact that the disciples were hiding out. They're squirreled away in their own little space from the rest of the folks in Jerusalem there. They're tucked away, kind of reminds me as the early days of the pandemic. They're kind of like social distancing from everybody in a way. They're in the upper room, they're hiding out, they're in fear about what's going to happen next because Jesus was crucified and they were afraid that maybe they'd be next for just associating with Jesus. They knew what would happen for somebody that professed faith in him, perhaps death on a cross like the Romans were doing. So those disciples were hiding away, they're distancing themselves, they're finding themselves just wringing their hands with worry and fear. And then the risen Christ shows up. Are there moments in your own life when your own home becomes that safe little upper room? Or if it's not your own home, do you have another space that you like to go to when you're just finding yourself gripping with fear or worry or overwhelmed in something? Are there times when you just try to hide away, you just want to pull the covers over your head, and you just can't quite cope like those disciples? We all have those moments. We all have our own little upper room and we just want to pull the covers over our head and say, enough, God, I just don't know how to do this one more day. But then we hear these beautiful words. We hear, peace be with you. Peace be with you is then what the disciples heard as Jesus saw them and greets them. Peace. That thing they've been longing for, peace. May it be with you, and here I am again. Knowing that they're afraid and worried and not knowing what's happening, peace be with you is this greeting that they receive. He didn't want them to fear. He was there, right there with them. And they could have this peace because the living hope of Christ was right there. Their worst days were never going to be the rest of the story. The living hope of Christ was there. And in our lives too, when we're hiding away, we're pulling the covers over our head and we're thinking, oh Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through. The living presence of Christ comes to us and whispers in our ear, peace be with you, and all will be all right. In those moments of our lives when we're afraid or we're anxious or we're experiencing doubt or we're going through a period of discernment or there's struggles, the living Christ is in our midst. It's not just on Easter Sunday. It's not just at one liturgical time of the Christian year, but it's all year long. On Sunday morning when we light these candles, we light the candles on the altar. I think about them as the candles of peace. We light those candles, and I think about those candles offering peace and hope in this world. I'm reminded of John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The living hope of Christ is in our midst, offering us peace. On Sunday morning, when we light these candles, may those be a real sign and a real presence of peace in our world, inviting us to remember to pray for peace, reminding us to be peacemakers in this world, to live and strive toward peace in our world, and reminding us in those moments when we want to just pull the covers over our head and say, not today, Lord, that we can find that inner peace within ourselves, because Christ is there. So if you can find yourselves relating to the disciples, or if you find yourself relating to this discerning Thomas in those anxious moments, may you know it's okay to struggle and it's okay to be vulnerable, but let's not find ourselves stuck there for too long, because we have hope. We have hope in the resurrected Christ, who calls us Easter people and invites us to be Easter people in this world. May the great God of peace be with us. May the peace of Christ surround you, and may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you today, remembering that you're never alone. Let's pray. Loving God, as we gather for worship and we hear this story of the disciples hiding out in this upper room in fear, and as we hear this story, sometimes we find ourselves connecting with it. Like the disciples, we can find ourselves overcome by fear, but God, help us to trust you with our hearts and lives. Like the disciples, we can find ourselves, our hearts filled with anxiety, but God, help us to experience your peace and extend it to the world. Like the disciples, we can find ourselves overcome by doubt, but help us to discern and believe. Like the disciples, we find ourselves wondering where we fit into the story, but God, help us to receive this good news and to know that our part of the story is to share it with the world, that this peace and hope might not be just ours, but we can share it freely. So in moments of fear and anxiety and doubt and wondering, Lord, help us to discover trust and peace and belief and good news. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today's prayer quilts are for Lisa Pressey, daughter of Kay Pressey, and Bob Mockenstrom, friend of Bill and Maggie Schreier. Let's take a moment right now to pray over these quilts and let them absorb our prayers. So if you have a feeling to raise a hand or send your energy toward these quilts, let's do that. Dear Lord, Please take from our hearts, souls, and spirits all of the thoughts of love and health and wellness that we can express right now, and let the material and thread of these quilts just absorb them. Let these recipients know how much God loves them and is there for them even in their toughest times. Let these prayers and feelings surround them in the darkest times and uplift them when they need it the most. In your name we pray for Lisa and Bob. Amen. And remember that after service, they'll be outside to tie a knot and sign the card for them. Today, I wanted to particularly focus on the prayer quilts a little more because a few weeks ago, I received a prayer quilt. And while I always knew what energy I sent to them for others that were receiving them, I never understood what could be gotten out of them. Since getting mine, I've curled up several times in my favorite chair with the blanket around me and just sat thinking about what prayers for me went into it. And then the last few days, as my mind, body, and spirit have continued to move through some low points, I've put the quilt on my bed and slept covered in it and taken to heart that message that even though I couldn't see each person that prayed over it and said words of healing, and I can't see the spirit of Jesus physically, or so I think, I believe my quilt took it in and is giving it to me each time it covers me. And like Pastor Lindsay said, I cover my head up with it sometimes when I get overwhelmed and I feel like cocooned in the love that each of you put into it and the prayers that people prayed over it. So know how much people get out of it that you put into it. So let us pray. Dear Lord, in your mercy, cover us with your love and power that we may absorb it into our bodies and minds, that we may renew ourselves and our belief of you, even though we cannot see you. We know that we see your work in all things around us. Take away our uncertainties, our pain, our shame, and forgive us our mistakes. Fill us full of love for you and for mankind, including love for ourselves. When we are the most anxious, scared, or angry, remind us of your love in all the ways that you do. Sneak up on us if you need to. Barge in when we've blocked the door. But we pray that you do not let those roadblocks that we put up slow you down. When we get so focused on our own needs, help us to look around for others that need us. Give us the strength to have a heart for mission beyond ourselves, for we know how much it helps our own spirits to heal if we are there for others. There is so much need in the world, whether it be financial or physical or mental health. There are so many opportunities that we can share your word with others. Share your spirit of forgiveness and be an agent of change in your name. Even if all that we can do is pray for those in need because they are hurting or have no home, have lost their job, or feel that they can't live another day, that prayer might be the tipping point that will launch a ripple effect that brings on the tsunami that saves the world. Open our minds and hearts to things in our world that we cannot see. Those things that need our help, but also those blessings that you have endowed us with. Even if we are a stranger to those people that receive the prayer quilts, the energy that we fill it with can be felt. We can be a blessing to anyone. Move our hearts that may have become hardened and callous. Remind us that each day, just a small gesture can make a world of difference, and challenge us to make that difference every moment possible. Now let's take a moment to say our own prayer and reflect on our own thoughts. Now let's join our voices in prayer together today and project it to these prayer quilts, now that it will flow out of them and surround the persons that receive it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Of Christ, with Christ's resurrection, we have new hope, new joy, and we can be ambassadors of that in the world through sharing of prayer quilts, through singing of songs, through getting out and serving in mission, through sharing the love of Christ. We also do that through the sharing of our financial gifts to support the ministry of mission that happens through this congregation. So I would invite the ushers to come forward and to wait upon us to receive the offering. And as we do so, we're going to hear a mission moment. If you'll turn your attention to the screens, as the offering's passing, we'll be hearing a mission moment from Hope's Closet, one sign of great ministry taking place in this world.
Good morning. The mission moment for April is for our Hope's Closet ministry. Hope's Closet continues to support foster children and the families that take in foster children. Change is in the works for Hope's Closet as we join forces with the Livingston Foster Closet on Grand River in Fowlerville. We have outgrown our one-room space in the Vena Clinic, and we were only able to handle clothing sizes up to children size 10 to 12. Our referrals were down significantly since they were going to the Livingston Foster Closet first. So, Hope's Closet will continue to exist in conjunction with the Livingston Foster Closet. It continues to be a first stop for new foster parents to get clothing for a child or children who are often dropped off with only the clothes on their backs. How can you help? We need first, gently used and new clothing. It's a great time to shop and find good sale items. Infant through teenage sizes. We can now handle the older sizes because those are often very much in need. Bunk beds and cribs are often requested to help homes get licensed to become foster homes. So money to help us purchase those, or if you have bunk beds or cribs that you're willing to donate, that would be great. Newer, you gently used mattresses are often needed also. But most of all, donations of money. This helps fund the closet and purchase items that we don't have on hand but are needed right now, usually. This month we're having a special fundraiser, and this will go on through May. We have a company that will pay us cash per pound for old clothing and old material goods, such as old sheets, towels, and these things don't have to be in good shape. They're things that you're going to throw out, but they can go to a good cause. So bag up any old clothing and drop it off at the church, and we'll get it over to the Livingston Foster Closet, where the company comes and picks it up and then gives us money per pound of old clothing. So your job is to clean out your closets and drop things off so we can raise some cash for Hope's Closet. Thank you for your support. It continues to make a big difference. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jesus, we thank and praise you. Our offerings are one way to show our gratitude. Bless these offerings we bring forward today and use them to help us reach those who don't know you yet. Amen.
Y'all sound like an amazing choir out there. You guys need to start joining the choir. Let's add a few more seats up here. Y'all are wonderful. Just a few announcements to share. Yesterday there was a softball practice. Did you know that we have softball at our church? We have a men's league, a women's league, and as well as a co-ed team. And they're looking for some more softball players. All are welcome. You just have to be 15 years of age or older, young at heart. If you don't like to play softball, come cheer us on. The softball league's a great deal of fun. Another announcement I want to share is I'll be doing a new member class. So if you're looking to find connection and make this church your spiritual home and really name this and claim this place as where you're growing in faith, I would invite you to join the new member class. I'm going to be teaching it on Sunday evenings, three Sunday evenings, starting May 8th at 7:30 here at our Brighton campus. All are welcome to be a part of that. And then the third announcement I want to share is Allison is looking to expand our nursery volunteers. So if you love little children, babies and infants and toddlers, if you love working with kids and find great joy in that, a warm invite to connect with Allison, our Director of Children and Student Ministry, to find some more adults to help shepherd and care for those children at 9:30 and at 11 o'clock. Nursery volunteers are always welcome and encouraged. And lastly, I want to share that you're invited to join Pastor John and I. We're going to have two town hall gatherings. One on May 17th, we're going to meet on Zoom. Or if you're an in-person person, we're going to meet on May 22nd here at 5 o'clock. The reason of our town hall is we're going to give you some updates on some on the following topics. We're going to be talking about the postponement of General Conference to 2024. We're also going to share with you about a new and emergence of a new denomination called the Global Methodist Church. And we're going to talk about our continued commitment to know God and love God and serve God here at this congregation. So if you are curious, have some questions, we want to share some updates on what's happening with General Conference, come join us, Zoom, May 17th, in person, May 22nd. With those announcements shared and knowing that there's way more happening in the life of the church by getting our Thursday e-newsletter and checking us out online, you can find all sorts of good stuff happening. I send you off now to go do the work of God in this community, across the state, and around the world. May we go forth this day not being those disciples pulling the covers over our heads or hiding out in fear, but may we go forth to proclaim the resurrection and the good news of Christ, knowing that he is always with us and in our midst. Go forth to love and serve your neighbor. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.